The Talk Station, AM 1500 KSTP.
From the bleak, barren, inner-city tarmac of University Avenue, we return to your radio road hazard. The Mischke Broadcast, transmitting live from the last 90 feet of St. Paul, courtesy of the Black Sheep Broadcasting Network.
Yeah? What would you like, huh? You want the special this evening? News. Exciting and new. Divers cut into the inner hull of the Russian sub Kursk. With the seas around them increasingly rough, Russian and Norwegian divers this week pierced the inner hull of the sunken Kursk nuclear submarine in a laborious, precarious bid to recover the 118 sailors. They cut a 4-inch hole in the steel of the inner hull, and they worked their way into the sub. Unfortunately, it was too late to save the sailors inside. The Russians getting there just a little too late. The guys inside, it turns out, have been dead for weeks now. But nice effort just the same there, Ruskies. Just a little slow on the trigger. The Russians, by the way, now thinking of trying to rescue the trapped passengers of the Titanic. You ever see a Russian give mouth-to-mouth to a skeleton? It's a damnedest thing. I've seen it a couple of times. There'll be a skeleton there. You know, dead, I don't know, a hundred years. And Russian, you know, never say die, Ruskies. Giving him mouth-to-mouth. Of course, the air just goes out of all the holes, you know. Goes out all over the place. So many places. It's like trying to blow up a balloon after you shot it up with a machine gun. You know, what the hell are they doing? And then the chest compressions, that's a disaster. Mischke Broadcast.
Yeah, I'm calling, who is this?
This is Tim.
Tim?
Uh-huh.
Okay, I'm calling to see if I can talk to Mischke.
Your first name?
Bernadette.
All right. Hello, Bernadette.
Yes. I had a remark on the flashcard versus rating
story
you told.
Yes.
Okay, I was going through some notes today on existential therapy, and I ran
You and me both. Which notes were you reading?
Well, my own, when I was going to school.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
And a quote from Christopher Robbins.
Oh, Christopher Robbins of Winnie the Pooh?
Yeah.
Oh.
Winnie the Pooh ate so much honey, he couldn't get out of the hole because he got so fat. So Christopher Robin said that he couldn't do anything for him, but he could read to him until he got out of the hole. That is, until he got thin enough to get out of the hole.
Ah.
So
yes.
I thought you couldn't really get that from a flashcard. And I thought it was very wise.
It was. Now, this was part of a doctorate program?
No, master's.
Master's.
Yeah.
So were you grandfathered in there into the, where you could take the state boards, get licensed, and without having to have a doctorate?
No, I wasn't grandfathered in. No. I'm actually not done. I'm 3/4 through with my master's. I'm not finished.
Hmm. No, when you have your master's, what will that allow you?
It will allow me to do, well, actually, it's kind of a creative master's because I have to decide with my fourth contract what it is I want to do with it. The degree is actually in human development.
Human development.
But I'm thinking of transpersonal psychology, more of a metaphysical approach.
Yeah, I like that. Look what I just got today.
What?
This is from the Minnesota Mensa chapter. Dear Tommy, would you believe some of the smartest people in America live in your area? And most of them may not know that they are smart. American Mensa, which has 45,000 members, estimates that 5 million Americans are eligible for membership in the High IQ Society. That's one out of every 50 people. To introduce a wider variety of Americans to Mensa, Minnesota Mensa is participating in American Mensa's National Testing Day, Saturday, November 11th of this year. Last year, more than 1,000 people took the Mensa test at more than 140 testing stations across the country. The American Mensa admission test is comprised of two tests that feature questions involving logic and deductive reasoning. As part of our National Testing Day, we're inviting you or a member of your on-air news team to take the test for free. Not only is this an opportunity to find out if you're among the nation's brightest, but also to develop a story on the wide variety of people that are members of Mensa. We have arranged for a special private media-only testing session to be held at the newly remodeled Ramada Inn Northwest.
I hope you take it.
While it's true that our members have IQs in the top 2% of society, there is no stereotypical member. We have cab drivers, rocket scientists, retired teachers, authors, construction workers, and even some celebrities. Academy Award winner Gina Davis is among our members, as are former world boxing champion Bobby... what kind of a name is CZYZ? If I had a higher IQ, I could pronounce that. As well as Parade magazine columnist Marilyn Vos Savant. Of course, Savant. But not Marilyn Idiot Savant. She's not. Maurice Canbar, inventor and owner of Sky Vodka. Also, cartoon character Lisa Simpson recently became a member of Mensa.
I've never even heard of Mensa. What is it?
It's a local group of, Mensa, what does it stand for? Mentally Extraordinary... No, I don't know what the hell it means.
It's local, though? It's not national?
Well, it's national and local. Please
okay.
Be sure that it's special. The results will not be made known to only the... Oh, okay. Judy Hogan, past local group president and media liaison. P.S., I love it that you still play the chicken fat tape.
Should I hang up? Because I really just had the Christopher Robbins thing.
Never hang up.
I
wanted you to... No, don't hang up. Don't hang up. I would like to do the show...
Hang up on me?
I would like to do the show with you.
Okay.
Just
tell me when to hang up.
Okay.
Say go and...
Go.
Okay.
All right. Well, kids are never too young to learn about investing. That's right, this just in. A new book out called Wow the Dow. It's not about Chinese philosophy. No, we're talking about the Dow Jones here. Wow the Dow, the complete guide to teaching your kids how to invest in the stock market. Because kids are never too young to learn about investing. So get Wow the Dow. Pat Smith and Lynn Ronnie, founders of Stock Market Kids, have put out Wow the Dow. Wow the Dow. Forget lemonade stands and piggy banks. We're taking the stock market for kids to a new level in Wow the Dow. The mantra, it's never too early to teach kids about investing. Increasingly, children are fascinated by and eager to learn about investing and researching and making stock trading decisions. That's according to Pat Smith and Lynn Ronnie, founders of Stock Market Kids. They wrote the book Wow the Dow. And they swear, and I've held a gun to their head, and they don't take this back, increasingly children are fascinated by the stock market, eager to learn about investing and researching, wanting at earlier and earlier ages to make stock trading decisions. Kids, that's a disturbing little bit of news, isn't it? This is what kids are increasingly wanting to learn about. What have we done to our children, people? I'd rather see my kid fascinated by Charles Manson myself. Increasingly, children are eager to learn about investing and researching stock trading decisions. Well, find out what part of their brain is interested in this crap and have it surgically removed. You can replace it later when they're older. But by all means, first let them be children. Even if you have to take their financial fascination and lobotomize the damn thing, drastic perversions call for drastic corrective measures. Huh? This isn't natural, people. These kids are reacting to the rather twisted money fascination in our society today. Something that takes hold of us all too soon after we leave childhood. But something that should not be there when we're but wee little lads learning to catch butterflies and skip rocks. That's not when we should be learning and getting interested in investing. That's sick. What else is wrong with these kids? Give them a physical, for God's sake. Authors Pat Smith and Lynn Ronnie are co-founders of Stock Market Kids, a nationally affiliated parent-child investment club. They bring a personal, maternal touch to the book. Both have spent hours figuring out ways to engage children in the world of finance. In essence, the book is really common knowledge. It's told in an interactive and family-oriented way. There are crossword puzzles, word games, quizzes galore about such things as the number of stocks in the Dow and events that may increase the price of a stock. And there are ways to create CEO trading cards, which highlight financial icons such as Michael Eisner, CEO of Disney, Warren Buffett, the legendary investor, Ted Turner. You know? These cards list the money maven's net worth. So you can have those for trading cards. Now, when I was a boy, the trading card I wanted had Harmon Killebrew on it. Yeah, Harmon. Now the kids want a Warren Buffett card. Yeah. The man doesn't have a glove even. He doesn't have squat. He doesn't have spikes. He's not holding a bat. He's not on the green grass of a playing field. Why, he's in his business suit at a boardroom table looking like a blood-sucking parasite. Well, that's a little harsh. Looking like a old guy in a suit at a boardroom table. But does he have stats? Where are his stats? Do you get gum with his card? When you bring the card to school, are you able to trade it? Or do kids just beat you up and leave you on the playground with your briefcase and pocket protectors scattered about and your portfolio ravaged? Huh? Kids, listen up, kids. Money's not the root of all evil. But a fascination with money taking root in childhood is evil. It's abnormal. It's wrong, and it needs to be eradicated if we are to raise healthy kids. Come on, kiddos. You have no bills. Money should be your parents' concern. You worry about catching frogs and jumping into leaf piles. Or having a soda pop. Let the folks with the bills worry about the money. And know this. If you get too interested in the almighty dollar too early in childhood, you'll be grounded and or sent to a re-education camp for indoctrination in the ways of being a child. For a kid on Wall Street is worse than a kid on Bourbon Street. That's what I say. And Bourbon Street has hookers. So that really means, well, you know where I stand with Wall Street. Didn't you ever hear Ma say never play in the street? She meant Wall Street. Let me put it in language you can understand, youngsters. Money sucks. There. The pursuit of it consumes lives. The facts are the facts. No one, on looking back from their deathbed, ever thought about investments, nor stock trading. And no happy childhood ever had anything to do with Wall Street investments. You don't play stickball on Wall Street, kids. You play stickball on Elm Street. Main Street. Wall Street's for the jaded and the jaundiced and the dubious and the critical and the suspicious and the road-weary and the slick and the hard-boiled. This doesn't describe childhood. This nonsense will come along soon enough. Keep it at bay as long as you can. Hi, Gary.
Gary, hey, how's it going?
I'm Tom. How are you?
Pretty good. Your producer didn't like it that I referred to you as What's-His-Face. I thought that was kind of consistent with the tone of the show, but apparently he didn't like that. But,
well, you know, he's an individual. He gets to like what he likes. I get to like what I like. And you, Gary, get to like what you like. You lucky stiff.
That seems pretty fair. You seem to have a real anti-capital kind of bent, though. I mean, I realize that you're saying that kids shouldn't take it too far or go out of perspective with it. On the other hand, I've heard several of your rants here. I remember one not too long ago where you're talking about your eyes glazing over at the mere mention of tax rates or something to that effect.
Mm-hmm.
One where you did a bit where you were criticizing people for calling in or requesting information about financial stuff and suggesting that they'd be better to think about a good glass of bourbon or a good glass of scotch or whatever.
Sounds like me.
And I don't know. I think you got this strange kind of anti-capital viewpoint that
I think
is just as far out as the people that you're criticizing.
Well, I think you got me pegged.
Yeah. And Warren Buffett does have pretty good stats, actually. He owns a big part of that ABC network that that you guys carry at the top of the hour. So I'm pretty impressed with the stats, more so than Derek Jeter or somebody like that.
Mm-hmm. What do you think old Warren's going to think about on his deathbed?
The fact that he could buy and sell you about 380,000 times over.
Now, you realize he's not really going to think about that because he doesn't even know me.
Well, maybe he can aspire to knowing you.
Well, I'm serious when I ask the question, what do you think he's going to think about on his deathbed?
The fact that he made some people, gave them some opportunities by some of his actions, the fact that he helped bring people some prosperity. You know, nobody ever works for poor people. Yeah. I don't know of any poor people who go around starting companies or managing companies or giving people an opportunity to better themselves or to give them something to aspire to. So I think he might...
Well, there's that Jesus fella.
Yeah.
Yeah, but other than that, I can't think of anybody.
The Talk Station, AM 1500 KSTP.